Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Did you know that the Bible is actually a book of 66 separate books, written over 1,600 years by 40 different authors on three different continents? The fact that the Bible has only one theme is really a miracle. You know, it'd be one thing if one person wrote the Bible. For instance, the Quran was written by one person, Muhammad. The Analects of Confucius were written by Confucius, and the writings of Buddha are written by one man, Buddha, so you'd expect them to be uniform. On the other hand, as I said, the Bible was written by 40 different people in every age and every stage of life. They all wrote the same story. It's the story of God's love for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if it's the prophets or the poets, or the princes and the kings who wrote, or the sailors and soldiers, they all had the same story. Did you know that some of the Bible was written in homes, and other parts were written in prison, and other parts were actually written on ships? You couldn't have put that all together by a more diverse group of authors. And yet the story is the same. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is all about God redeeming man, and Jesus is the star of the story. That's why I believe only God could have put the Bible together. And that's why every day here on Daily Hope, we continue to look into God's Word for our life, our light, and our sustenance. Let's get started.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we enter the home stretch of our series called Doing Business with God. Now in these lessons, we'll learn what it truly means to do our work as unto the Lord and how our work can be a form of ministry to others and worship to God. Whether your work is at home, on a job site, in an office, in just a few moments we're going to let you know how you can find significance in your occupation, allowing you to enjoy your work more than ever. How does that sound? These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace. And you can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Standing Out at Work.
The six traits that get you promoted. The six, and these, by the way, today, even today, they still work. They're the six most in-demand traits that employers look for when they're looking for somebody to hire. Let's look at them. By the way, these traits are not in order of importance, okay? They are in order of the story. So they're chronological. It's not like the first one's the most important. It's just the one that comes up first. So they're all important. Number one, the first trait that Joseph shows is audacity. Audacity. And if you want to make it in a career, you have to show audacity. You have to show this character quality that Joseph develops and shows in his life. He has a big dream. Now, in each of these qualities, I've written a definition for you there on your outline. So you might want to fill this in. What is audacity? Audacity is the courage to think big. It's the courage to think big, to show initiative, and to take risks for a dream while facing the possibility of failure. That is audacity. And it's the first trait we see in Joseph's life. The courage to think big, to show initiative, and to take risks for a dream while facing the possibility of failure. Now, we have an example of this in Genesis chapter 37. The Bible starts off telling us this about Joseph. Joseph had a dream. Circle that. Joseph had a dream. Now, this dream is so big, so incredible, so audacious, nobody in the world believes him. He says, I had this dream that one day I'm going to be the most powerful leader in the world. And not only am I going to be the most powerful leader in the world, all my brothers are going to bow down to me. He's going, and all the brothers are going, oh yeah, you and your mama. Okay. And even my dad's going to bow down to me. I'm going to become the most powerful leader in the world. Now, the truth was it the truth? Yes. Was the dream from God? Yes. Did it happen? Yes. Was it fulfilled? Yes. Was Joseph stupid in telling his brothers? Yes. And let me give you a little advice here. If you're an entrepreneur, not every dream should be shared with everybody. When God gives you a dream, you only share it. Listen, very important. You only share it with people who can help you get there. You don't go tell everybody. A lot of times you get a great idea and you want to go tell everybody in your family. Your family's going to say, and who do you think you are? See, the question is not who do you think you are, it's who do you think God is. And a lot of people don't understand that. When I started Saddleback Church and I stood up at the first service and I announced that one day this church, I said, this is a church one day we'll have 20,000 people and we're going to have at least 50 acres of land. Was that dream from God? Yes. Was it true? Yes. Was it fulfilled? Yes. Was it dumb of me to share it with everybody that first? Yes. Because immediately all kinds of critics, who's this kid think he is? He's a 25-year-old kid. Has he got any money? No. He got any land? No. Got any members? No. What's he got? A dream. You don't share your dream with everybody. Does that make sense? You only share it with those who can actually help you get it there. You don't advertise there. But Joseph has an audacious dream. And what was the result of his family? It says, when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. It just made him more mad. And when he told his father, as he had had his brothers, his father rebuked him. Even his dad didn't believe him because it was so audacious. And Jacob said, what is this dream of yours? What is this dream of yours? Sometimes you're going to have to just step out in faith when it doesn't make sense. That's audacity. When you think, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what God wants me to do. I know it. It's a dream God's put in my heart, and I'm going to do it. And God honors that when we step out in faith. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. This last week, I showed a letter to my staff that was written 10 years ago. And it was a letter telling me from the publisher of Zondervan, by the head publisher there, the head editor, guy editing my book, that Purpose Driven Life was a terrible book and that it would never sell. And I sent him the original manuscript. And I got this letter, I preserved the letter. And he systematically goes through the book and says, these are all the things wrong why it won't sell. It's got 40 chapters. Nobody reads 40 chapters. It doesn't have enough stories in it. And I said, I'm not putting stories in it because I want it to be an international book and I don't want it to just be for Americans. He said, it's got too many scriptures in it. I said, I trust the scripture more than my words. And he had a whole list of things. It's choppy here and on and on and on. And I wrote him back and I had to say, you know what? I value your opinion. And I showed the staff the letter that I sent back to him. I value your opinion, but I believe this is the way I'm supposed to do it. And I believe I've been directed by God to do it. And if you don't want to do it this way, that's okay. I'll take the book back. I'll publish it myself. You don't have to publish it. We don't have a contract yet. And I basically held the line. And they came back, oh, no, we want to publish it. Are they glad today? Yeah, the publisher of the most published book in history. But sometimes you just have to go with a little bit of audacity because God has told you Joseph had a dream. So let me ask you this question. Where do you need to be audacious? I'm not talking about arrogant. I mean audacious. Where do you need to believe God? Where do you need to trust God? Where do you need to step out in faith? Where do you need to think big? Where do you need to take initiative? Where do you need to show risks? Take risks. This is the first characteristic of Joseph. And you see it, if I had time to take you through his entire lifetime, where he makes one audacious decision after another in faith. And as a result, he got the promotion of a lifetime. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the second key to getting promoted is not audacity, it's likability. Likability. People have to like you if you're going to get promoted.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Standing Out at Work from our series called Doing Business with God. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Many people aren't excited about their work, and they may even dread it. Maybe this is because we see our work as a necessary evil or just a means to an end. But when you look at your work from God's perspective, there's so much more. Did you know your work can be a form of worship to God? The Hebrew word for work in the Old Testament also means worship and serve. It doesn't matter if you are working in the home, at a job site, or in an executive office. Your work can be a ministry that brings honor to God. Pastor Rick Warren says that you'll find real significance and meaning in any job once you've got the Lord's perspective on it. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, Rick wants to send you his study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. This biblical look at work includes a 6-session DVD and workbook that will give you the tools you need to find purpose in your work, allowing you to enjoy your job more than ever, or maybe even for the first time. These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. And it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word daily to 313131.
Once again, here's Rick.
People have to like you if you're going to get promoted. People trust you if they like you. If they don't trust you, they're not. If they don't like you, they're not going to trust you. And by the way, I tell this to preachers and to teachers. If you want people to listen to you, first they got to like you. They're not going to listen unless they like you. If they like you, they'll listen. If they don't like you, it doesn't matter how good it is, they're not going to listen. So likability is the second quality for being promoted. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word likability. It uses the word favor. It also uses the word honor. And it says, if you do these things, you'll have the favor of God and men. If you do these things, you'll be favored by men. If you do these things, you'll be honored by men. You'll be respected by men. You'll be likable. On each of these 6 traits, I could have given you 50 or 60 verses out of the book of Proverbs, but the sermon would be 2 hours long. So I just kept it to Joseph. But this concept of likability is all through Scripture. Now, a lot of people think that likability is just a matter of personality. You're either a likable person or you're not. You're either born with it or you're not. Nothing could be further from the truth. Likability is not personality, it's character. It's choice. It's behavior. It's how you choose to relate to other people. Do you want to be liked by other people? Here's the big secret. Okay, I'm going to tell you the big secret. How do I be liked by other people? Here's the secret. Like them. That's it. If you like people, guess what? They're going to like you. If you don't like people, they're not going to like you. We like people who like us. It's not rocket science, folks. To be likable, you just have to like people. You have to genuinely enjoy them. That's not personality. That's character. It's a choice. It's choosing to be interested in others, choosing to not think about yourself, choosing to be interested in their lives, things like that. Here's a definition of likability. You might write this down. Possessing the attractive attitudes, and those are choices, and the relational skills that cause others to want to work with me. That's likability. You have the certain attitudes and you have the certain skills that cause people to go, I want to work with that woman. I want to work with that guy. They're fun to work with. I enjoy being around them. They're likable. And if you are likable, then you have the attractional or attractive attitudes and the relational skills that cause people to go, I want to team up with that person. I want to hitch my wagon to that star. And those are important things. Now, here's a good example. Joseph in Genesis 39, verses 2 to 4. Joseph lived at the home of Potiphar, his Egyptian owner. Soon, Potiphar realized that the Lord was helping Joseph to be successful in whatever he did. Potiphar took a liking to Joseph. He was likable. He took a liking to Joseph, and he made him his personal assistant. Now he takes a guy who starts off as a slave. He's probably cleaning toilets and taking out garbage and stuff like that. And Potiphar notices, this guy's good. He's really good. He's audacious, but he's good. And he's good, and he takes a liking to him, and so what's he do? He gets promoted. What's he get promoted to? His personal assistant. This is not a bodyguard. This is the guy who's running his household. He's his manager. He's his vice president. He's the guy in charge of everything. He's the COO of Potiphar, Inc. He took a liking to Joseph and made him his personal assistant. Now, he says, when we talked about likability means you got to have attractive attitudes. What are attractive attitudes? They're the attitudes that attract people to you. How about this one? Is humility attractive? Oh, yeah. Do you like being around egotist or humble people? Humble people, right? Yeah. So when a person is humble, then you like to be around them. How about cheerfulness? Would you rather be around somebody who's cheerful or a hag? No. You know, you don't want to be around somebody who's nagging you all the time and, you know, just negative, grumpy, grouchy. You know, do you wake up grouchy in the morning? No, I usually let him sleep. You know, that's... The bottom line is we want to be around cheerful people. We want to be around optimistic people. We want to be around helpful people. We want to be around humble people. We want to be around empathetic people. When you tell, you say, you know, I'm not really feeling good today. Oh, that's too bad. That doesn't make any friends. Somebody goes, oh, I'm really sorry. You know, what's going on? And they're empathetic. Is empathetic an attractive attitude? Yes. And when you find somebody at work who's empathetic to your stress, when you're empathetic with your boss's stress, guess what? You're likable. Bosses like people who are empathetic to their stress, who understand, who look at it not from their viewpoint, but from somebody else's viewpoint. When you help somebody else succeed, then you're going to be likable. And when you're likable, you're going to go far. Let me just say to those of you who are younger, two things I would give you as advice, just starting out in a career, in your job, in your vocation. One is, whatever job you get into, find as many mentors as you can. A young person in a business who has four mentors is almost unfireable. Because those four mentors are going to stand up for you, no matter even if you really make a mess. So you get some defensive backs in there who are older than you, who will stand up for you, who will run and block and tackle for you. And if you get three or four mentors in a business, you're going to go far. Because not only are they going to protect you from being fired, but they are going to likely help you get promoted because they see themselves in you. Another thing is, if you find somebody in the business who looks like they're going far, hitch your wagon to them. Hitch your wagon to a superstar, and you'll go along the ride with them. You might not be a superstar. I know a guy named George. George was studying for the priesthood. He was Greek Orthodox. He's studying for the priesthood. And he decided to go to work for a little-known politician who was running for office. And so he worked in that guy's campaign. And, you know, lo and behold, after a while, that guy kept going up and going up. After a while, that guy got elected president. And Bill Clinton, that guy, made George Stephanopoulos his press secretary. Clinton's been out of office for years, but then George Stephanopoulos now has a TV show on ABC all the time. How'd he get that job? He hooked his wagon to a star. Does that make sense? And so now all of a sudden he's got one of the plum jobs in George Stephanopoulos in news making, but he started as just doing errands in somebody's campaign. And as that guy went along, he went along with him. So you got to have likability. Joseph was liked. Number three, the third key to getting promoted is capacity, not audacity, but capacity. Now, capacity is the amount of abilities that you've got, and if you're already using all of your abilities, you're not going to get promoted. If you're a four-cylinder person, that's all you got the capacity for, and you got a four-cylinder job, you're not going to get promoted. But if you keep developing and you keep growing and you keep learning and learning and learning and sharpening your skills, then you become an eight-cylinder or 12-cylinder person, and you're still in a four-cylinder job, you're going to get promoted because you have more capacity. You got to show that you've got the capacity to do more. Let me give you a definition of this third quality. Capacity is my potential for growth. My potential for growth. What is your potential for growth? Or are you just going to be the same 10 years from today as you are right now? You going to read any books between now and the next 10 years? You going to take any seminars? You going to grow? You going to develop any skills? You going to learn any relationship skills? It is the potential for growth. It is the desire to keep learning so I can increase in competence and so I can handle greater responsibility. I have a friend who walked into a church one time. He was following a pastor who'd been there for many, many years, like 20, 30 years. And this guy went as a young guy, and he walked in, and here was the staff. And he drew a line on the board, and he wrote 1,000, because the church was running about 1,000 in attendance. And then he drew another line that said 2,000, he wrote out here. And he said, now, I know you all have the capacity to take a church to 1,000 in attendance and to love and to care for and to help and manage a church that size, because you're already doing it. We got a church of 1,000. What I don't know is, do you have the capacity to take the church to 2,000?
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Maybe you've never thought about it, but your job matters to God. You say, how is that? Well, because God planned what you would do with your life, and part of your life includes your job, your work. God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. Now listen. It doesn't matter what your job is. You may be a manager or a stay-at-home mom or dad. You may be a doctor, a teacher, sales clerk, garbage collector. You may be a taxi cab driver. You may be paid or unpaid. You may be a volunteer in your work. No matter what you do, God uses your job to put you in a place where you can minister to others. And your ministry is actually in your job. Now, I'd like to help you with this. I'd like to equip you for your ministry at work. So I put together a study kit that I've called Christians in the Workplace. And it actually includes six sessions. They're study sessions. And there's a DVD and there's a study guide where Azusa Pacific professor Paul Schreier and I teach you about ministry at work. And together, we talk about opportunities for spiritual growth, and we give you a guide for moral and ethical decision-making, and we talk about how to find opportunities in your work to share your faith with others. There's a lot of helpful material in this kit, and I'd like to send it to you. I'd like to send you Christians in the Workplace study kit just to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. And when you support this ministry, you are helping not only share the good news with people around the world, you're helping Christians to grow. Now, I believe that this series is going to be a good series to help you, because we all have to work in different ways. And you'll benefit from this study, and it'll be a great small group study you could actually do with some friends. Now, we're a listener-supported ministry, and your financial gifts make it possible for us to continue broadcasting. So, thank you for your gifts. And by the way, visit my website, rickwarren.org, and you can find all kinds of information about other materials, resources, and studies, and of course, the Daily Hope broadcast. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for your support. I love you, I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you. So join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our Daily Hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.